Hey, welcome in time for daily editorial number four in a row. Lance, you made us feel guilty not doing this every day, so Jim and I are doing it every day. Jim is also going to be co-anchoring the weekend radio show. Jimmy, when you and I were talking off air today, you mentioned that this Pfizer thing in terms of quote-unquote approval really is kind of being misunderstood. What's going on, man?
So according to Alex Bernstein is a former New York Times writer. He's been following the entire COVID crisis rather significant, very responsibly and providing a lot of information and data. And according to his and multiple other reports, including lawyers and legal analysis, the approval for the FDA authorization for Pfizer for a general use is actually somewhat misleading. According to the documentation, the filings for the approval for regular use actually are for a version of the Pfizer vaccine that is actually not in production and not available. They still kind of mixed, apparently, this is according to the reporting, they've mixed the approval with what can be done, but the stuff that is actually out there available for people to take is still under emergency use, and they've still kept in an indemnity against Pfizer from that. So there's some very questionable information out there available on this, or good information to follow up with on this actual FDA approval of Pfizer for regular vaccinations.
Yeah, I have to say that interestingly enough, our listeners, including Jerry, including Tony, including CFS, including virtually everybody, are retired endodontists. It looks like they're absolutely 100% correct. I'm going to be doing with you, Jim. We have a neighbor who maintains right now that vaccination had a major role, perhaps, in the death of his wife. I don't know if he wants to even talk about that, but he's pretty convinced of that. Anyway, having said that, I really don't know what to say. I know that Kathy left this world back on June 1st. Did the vaccination have anything to do with it? The last people I could ask would be the medical community, because they would not admit it if it did. So you guys, Tony, everybody else, Larry, you guys, food for thought. Keep it coming. Do not get discouraged, because information like this is something the world needs to know about it. And CNN sure as hell isn't going to talk about it. Jimmy, anything else you want to bring up?
So yeah, there was a bombing this morning outside the airport in Afghanistan, outside right. Kabul International Kia, and unfortunately it wounded three American soldiers. There are people, Americans, including apparently a school group with adult chaperones, that are stuck in Afghanistan, about 35 total people, that they can't get out from right. Southern California. There are numerous reports of Americans that are trapped and have no contact, and this administration is continuing with their 31 August departure date. This is going to be a disaster that continues to bleed for this administration as they try to manipulate and use the mainstream media and basically the Ministry of Propaganda and Truth in order to shift away from the crisis that they have created. The Taliban is not claiming responsibility, but again, they've done partnerships now with ISIS Khorasan Group, with Haqqani Network, and remnants of Al-Qaeda. And those people will be allowed to continue to operate in Afghanistan. They have an agenda. They have the idea of making a caliphate. And this is what we're going to face with this administration's absolutely disastrous decision for withdrawal.
Well, it is a questionable decision on my point, but I have to say that the whole Middle East, as you guys are aware, Larry, I'm not sure if you would agree with me on this, but you're a pretty bright guy, I'm sure that you would, and that is the Middle East is a quagmire. The French got beat out of there, the British got beat out of there, the Russians got beat out of there, and now we're going to get beat out of there. I don't know what's going to happen. I guess I'll have to stick to my guns, Jim, and I have to say I think Israel is going to solve it because they can't afford not to.
But I want to reiterate that Afghanistan is a long way from the Middle East, Central Asia, that it's a different problem. It actually is very focused on the problem with Pakistan and the extremist elements that operate in many areas along the Pakistani tribal areas. And the problem here is incredibly complicated. What we were able to do, what the U.S. was able to do, and this is why a lot of people are very, we had to get out. We did have to get out from combat operations. We did not have to get out from a security assistance perspective and to continue to support in behind the scenes in a way that would allow us to operate effectively against transnational terrorist organizations and still help the Afghan government continue to operate and function. With 2,500 people in Afghanistan over the last 18 months, we had zero American casualties. That could have continued on with still a pullout and basically from combat operations, but maintaining an embassy and maintaining a security assistance program, a large effort. In Turkey, we kept a security assistance program of over 3,000 soldiers and sailors and airmen after World War II for decades. In Germany, we remain with tens of a couple, almost 30,000 troops in Europe. In Japan, we continue to have over 30,000 troops. We've got 28,000 troops in South Korea. We could continue this in a different function. Although I do agree that combat operations and pulling out our combat forces was critical, we wanted to avoid the problem, but I think this is this decision, regardless of who would have taken it, if it would have been this way, is disastrous. And I think we're going to suffer in the long run. And I think, like in Iraq and Syria, where ISIS grew to the size of Texas in a matter of 3 years, I will remind people, under the CENTCOM commander's guidance, Lloyd Austin at the time, the now SecDef, we ended up having to go back and destroy them. And we did it very rapidly.
Yeah,
So,
I want to say one thing just as a matter of clarification. When I define the Middle East, I include areas where ISIS and the terrorists, for like other terrorist groups, for lack of better terms, are regaining control. I realize that Afghanistan and Pakistan basically is a hell of a lot closer to other countries than it is, for example, to Israel. But I still maintain that the problem is a Middle Eastern problem, in my opinion. And I think it all stems from the Balfour Declaration in the way earlier part of the last century. You got the final word, Jimmy. What's going on?
I just think that that the American people are beginning to realize that the media is attempting to protect this regime, and that they speak for them as a mouthpiece, and they're not actually the mainstream corporate media, and they're not working the best interests of American citizens. And I think the more they understand that, the less trust they'll have, and the more likely that they're going to force transparency in things like election integrity. They're going to force an answering on a lot of the questions, especially as we combine the lies with Afghanistan with the lies with COVID. And I think we need to continue to push and pressure and keep talking. If they close our voices down, then we are in tyranny.
I agree with you, Jimmy. No question about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be back tomorrow unless something major happens later on today.